The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, it's Jordan Younger, your host of the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. Here we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, wellness, motherhood, channeling, aliens, and so much more. We have deep conversations. We go to other realms. It's a lot of fun. So stick around. Let's dive on in. I cannot wait to connect. Hello to all my favorite people. Welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. If this is your first time listening, then welcome. We have a special episode for you today with Dr. Gregory Kelly. This is a different style of episode in that it is so informative, packed full of incredible information about healthy aging, anti-aging, brain and memory, energy, sleep, digestion, all of the best stuff. Gregory Kelly is an old school naturopath. We kind of decided you can say it both ways in this conversation. And he is the director of product development at Neurohacker Collective. So I started taking products from Neurohacker Collective years ago. I tell him the story at the end of this episode. Like the first ever nootropics that I had ever heard of were from Neurohacker, and they changed my life. And ever since then, I have been shouting about this kind of stuff from the rooftops. And I just love everything that he is doing and his company is doing for nootropics, anti-aging, regenerative medicine, weight management, sleep, chronobiology of performance and health. Basically, if you've ever wanted to learn how to live more optimally, or to reverse your aging, age backwards, this is the episode for you. And of course, we have a special code for you for the product that we're discussing a little bit about in this episode. We're also talking so much more. We're talking plant medicine, ayahuasca, spirituality. This conversation goes all over the place. But specifically, if you're here to learn about senescent cells, we talk a lot about that too. So if you're in your late 20s or older, adding Qualia Senolytic to your diet can play a crucial role in combating negative aging symptoms. Go to neurohacker.com/balanced for up to 50% off Qualia Senolytic. And as a listener of this podcast, use the code balanced at checkout for an extra 15% off your first purchase. How amazing is that? And with that, we're going to get into this episode with Dr. Greg Kelly, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. You're going to learn so much in this conversation. And also, if you haven't joined our meditation platform yet, the TBB meditation platform, it is getting a new name next week. I am so excited, and I highly recommend joining now before our Awakened April Challenge. It's going to change your life. I have been recording for it all week, and it's quantum, you guys. We're going into the quantum field, and I cannot wait to hear your thoughts if you join us. So with that, let's head into this episode. Dr. Greg, we have you here on the show today. You're coming in from San Diego. Tell us a little bit about you and how you got into this field.
Yeah, so many different directions over the course of my career. So I started off as an officer in the Navy back in the 80s, got out in 89, and at that point decided that I really wanted to be able to travel, and to do that adequately, I needed to take good care of myself and be able to do things that were outside of the standard medical system, and stumbled on naturopathic medicine during that journey and thought, oh, wow, this is super cool. And so eventually went to naturopathic school in the early 90s, graduated with my degree, saw patients with, if you've ever heard of the blood type diet, I worked in his clinic in Greenwich, Connecticut, and then eventually Stanford in the late 90s, and then moved off, started to do my own thing practice-wise, and eventually ended up at this super cool company called Neurohacker Collective that I work at now. Our brand is Qualia. So I've been naturopath by training, have always been super curious about really a fundamental question. What does health look like? And then the next question that is driven off that is like, what do we do to like really embrace it and rock with our health? And it's one of the reasons I love, you know, the team at Neurohacker Collective and what we do, because we're all about figuring out what performance at the highest level looks like and what we can do to help people to achieve it.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, two questions for you on that topic. One, I always thought it was naturopathic medicine, but is it naturopathic?
So I've heard both. I honestly, I go back and forth myself. So I would normally refer to myself as a naturopath instead of a naturopath, but nature would make sense because it's from that term.
Totally. I was just wondering if I've been saying it wrong this whole time, because you probably would be the one to know what you're talking about. And then number two is, do you believe in the blood type diet? Do you think that that works?
So what I can say is that I found it really useful in application. And I think that's often a better frame than is it right or wrong, or does it work or not work? Like, it was super useful for many people in the real world. And I'm when it, like, push comes to shove, I'm about something practical. It does it have utility? So what I would say is it probably isn't going to work for everyone, but it was a really useful way to start when you were trying to get someone healthier with diet.
And what's your blood type?
I'm an A positive. So my diet, according to D'Adamo's work, would lean more towards, think of like maybe the Japanese fishing diet or like an Irish coastal diet. So you know, largely, you know, vegetarian based, but with, you know, seafood and maybe some other sources of animal protein, where like O's would be the opposite. Think more like paleo, keto, like a high amount of animal products.
That's me. I'm O positive. I was vegan for 10 years. And people who ascribe to the blood type diet have always said, you need to be eating more protein.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, one frame I think, you know, I know I always have personally, is that what ultimately matters isn't the dogma of this is the right way or this is what everyone should do. It's like, you know, did it work for you when you added meat back in? And if it did, then probably worth continuing that experiment. And I think, you know, that is always the acid test. Like, you know, in the real world, you know, did the theory or whatever we tried actually matter and make an impact on our lives? And so, you know, for the listeners out there, you know, there's obviously many different diet camps, but it's the same for many aspects of health and well-being, you know, spirituality. And at the end of the day, just try to do things that work for me and help people do things that work for them and not be attached to that, you know, there's any right way to do that.
Absolutely. Before we started talking, I told you that this is a very spiritual podcast. So I'm excited to hear your spiritual journey and what you do on a daily basis, which we can get into. But before we do, I am so excited to talk to you about senescent cells. Enlighten us.
Yeah. So around 2013, a bunch of longevity scientists wrote a landmark paper where they described what they called 9 hallmarks of aging. And these are at a cellular level. And what they proposed is, okay, no matter what the organism, it wouldn't matter if it's a fly, a mouse, a primate, like a monkey, or a human being, that aging always has these characteristics in common. And one of those was called cellular senescence. In 2023, they updated those 9 to now be 12. So there's 3 new ones that got added, but cellular senescence is still one of the core 12. And what cellular senescence means is, think of our cells just like us. They're born, they live their life, they eventually get old and they die off. What a senescent cell is, at least in the context of aging, is a cell that was born, it did its job. Somewhere along the way, it got crazily stressed. And so it just got zombified. It's like, okay, we don't want to make you having children, like no new cells. You're not allowed to give birth to them. And ideally, now you should go through the dying off process. But what makes something a senescent cell is it somehow escaped from going through that, which is part of the reason you'll often hear the idea of zombie cell, because they're trapped somewhere in this in between, between being a living, healthy, productive cell and one that's finally gone through that final stage of death. So for the audience listening, the key idea of a senescent cell or cellular senescence is that as we get older in our tissues, this stress type of cell accumulates, and both takes up a lot of space that would be better served with healthy, useful cells, and can actually start to do some negative things in those tissues.
Wow. Would those cells, those zombie cells, would they also make us sick, or they just make us age, or both?
Yeah. So think in terms of the most fundamental level, our health is dictated by the how well our organs and tissues are functioning. And their function is dictated by the health of the cells that make up those tissues. And so the analogy I use quite frequently is that of a plant. So think of like the most vibrantly healthy green plant you can imagine. Now imagine, okay, like one yellow leaf pops up for some reason. And, you know, maybe they're not getting enough water, or maybe not enough nutrition in the soil, or, you know, you name it. But if that yellow leaf doesn't fall off the plant, it will attract pests. And eventually one yellow leaf becomes two, becomes 10, becomes more, right? And at some point, the health of the entire plant is jeopardized. So when you think of senescent cells in our tissues and organs, think of them as akin to that yellow leaf. But instead of being pruned off, like going through that natural falling off or removal process, they're sticking to the plant. And then they're causing more and more nearby cells to be the equivalent of yellow leaves. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, many of the things that struggle to perform as we get older, you know, vision, cognition, joint function, you know, our muscles struggling to, you know, be as strong or full, our skin becoming, you know, less glowing, more saggy, all of those things have a connection to the accumulation of senescent cells.
Mm-hmm. And why does a cell become senescent in the first place?
Originally, the idea was because of something called telomeres, or telomeres, sometimes you hear. Telomeres are the things at the end of DNA. And every time DNA is copied, some of those are stripped away. And at some point, if that gets too short, then there is what's called a DNA damage response. And that would cause a cell to become senescent, because fundamentally, we don't want to make copies of a cell where the DNA might not be perfect. So for the longest time, it was thought that that was, you know, the reason was because of telomeres. Starting maybe 20 years ago, it became increasingly recognized that stress of all types can cause cells to become senescent. So in the context of aging, it's much more likely to be largely stress than the telomere issue, but both can cause it. But when I say stress, it's things like our mitochondrial network not functioning well. So mitochondrial dysfunction. I think too much of anything that you would feel is stressful to you as a whole person, right? Like too much sun, like radiation, nutrient inadequacies, stress writ large, and, you know, maybe even a spiritual component, right? Like things that we feel as a stress, often ourselves experience as stress as well. So what usually science would call it is premature stress-induced senescence. We don't need to focus on that term, but the key message for the listeners is that most things that would cause you stress will cause our cells stress. And when they're stressed, one of their responses, if stress is too much or too prolonged, is to become senescent.
So we want to live as stress-free as possible, which we're always talking about on this podcast. And it's hard to do, but it's so important. And we forget how important it truly is.
Yeah, I know. I'm a big fan of Selye. He was really the grandfather of biological stress concept. And fundamentally, at the end of the day, I think he believed everything was stress. So it wasn't that we had to avoid everything, but, you know, make sure we did things in the right amount, right? And he was also of the opinion that mental and emotional stress was by far the most problematic stress for us human beings.
Interesting. That makes a ton of sense. I cannot tell you how much easier it is to eat better with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every single fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. Can you believe that? 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 options to choose from every week with Factor, including calorie smart, protein plus, and keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. I love the fact that they're two-minute meals so you can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever you are. They have everything from pancakes to smoothies and so much more. So you can discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and so much more. And it's no prep and no mess. That is something that I particularly love, given that I don't really save a lot of time in my day to prep my food, and I make a huge mess wherever I go. So this is no prep, no mess. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat. So there's no prepping, there's no cooking, there's no cleanup needed. And it's flexible for your schedule. So you can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. You can also pause and reschedule as you need. And it's less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved. Head to factormeals.com/balancedblonde50 and use code balancedblonde50 to get 50% off. That's code balancedblonde50 at factormeals.com/balancedblonde50 to get 50% off. Okay, so are you anything like me and you struggle to fall asleep? Because there are so many things that disrupt my personal sleep routine, from watching TV, I know it's a culprit, to social media, to just being up late talking to my husband, watching our favorite shows, falling into a habit of doing any of these things instead of my nighttime routine is so easy to do. I feel like the to-do list of our lives just keeps us from sleeping. But guess what? A million things don't want you to sleep, but Hatch does. I am such a fan of Hatch, and I am so excited to talk all about it today. The Hatch Restore helps you build sleep habits that make your unwind and wake-up routine simple and enjoyable for a screen-free bedtime, even when your to-do list wants you to choose otherwise. And with a Hatch Plus subscription, you can unlock premium routine-building features like cue to unwind, which signals you when it's time for bed, and pillow talk, an audio series, which is just like your favorite bedtime TV shows without the screens that keep you up. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/balanced. Visit hatch.co/balanced to get $20 off and free shipping. That is hatch.co/balanced. And I can't wait to hear what you think. You guys are going to love it. Yeah, this has me thinking about, I know people like my dad, for example, who's 77, who looks like he's 50, who acts like he's 30, and nobody believes his age. And my listeners know this because he's all over my Instagram and he's been on this podcast. And then I know people who are 45 and they either look 65 or they act much older than they are, and they don't have as much flexibility and activity in their life. What are the differences between these types of people?
Yeah. So I think, like, stepping back to like, what is even aging, right? So there's our birth age, that's chronological age. Mm-hmm. Then there is like our perceived age. So, you know, a bunch of people on Instagram looking at photos of your dad, like, how old do they think he is? And that's actually more predictive of, you know, our health and future risk for disease than necessarily our chronological ages. Then you would have something called felt age, right? Like, how old do you feel? That's not as predictive because most people actually would say, oh, I feel like I'm younger than I really am, right? So perceived age, like the age others perceive us to be, is a little better. But then there's what would be functional age, right? So those are like ability to do things in daily living. And then more recently, you know, scientists would say biological age, so the age of ourselves, like how old, mm-hmm. when we measure them, are they? And each of those, but if we just focus on cell age, because that is more connected to cell, is more predictive than how many years we've been alive in terms of for judging how healthy we are. So for people like your dad, my guess is if we measured, you know, both his functional age and, you know, like his biological age and cells, we would see like, oh, maybe he's, you know, been alive 7 decades, but his cells and function are performing at a level much younger than that.
Wow. How do we do that? I want to do that.
There's a company called True Diagnostics that measures biological age. And they're usually what are called epigenetic clocks that they have. And there's a few generations. The first and second really give an estimate of our biological age. And the third generation do a pace of aging. So like one would be each year that passes, you're aging biologically at 1 year. So the goal with those third generations is to have a number less than one.
Oh, wow. Right?
So the pace of aging is less. Mine typically shows about 7 years younger than my birth age.
It's incredible. And what is your birth age?
I'm 62 right now.
You look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm not surprised because of the work that you're in.
Yeah. And the other extreme of that is the saying, like some people age in dog years, right? Like we have that saying and that we all would have friends, acquaintances, people we've seen that's like, wow, that person doesn't look like they're aging great. Mm-hmm. Or all of a sudden, in a relatively short period of time, it seems like they've aged much faster. And my story, because I'm a big believer in stories, and ever since seeing the movie Finding Nemo years ago, there's a scene in that, and my memory is not perfect, so take this with a grain of salt. But the way I remember the scene is Nemo's with a bunch of sea turtles, and they're, you know, in the Gulf Stream swimming, and the sea turtles all talk like Southern California surfer people, right? Like, and so at some point he's like, yeah, well, how old are you? To one of them, he's like, I'm 120 years old, dude, and still young. So ever since that movie, I've always said Dr. Greg ages in sea turtle years, right? So
oh,
the opposite of dog years.
Yes. So that's a good mantra for all of us, to age in sea turtle years. Something that I've noticed, because I'm 33 and I had a child 2.5 years ago, and now I'm pregnant. After having my child, looking at the photos from before pregnancy to these sleep deprivation years and losing collagen and losing cellular health, I'm sure, just through the depletion of pregnancy, I do look like I've aged. And I'm still confident with how I look, and I'm not into Botox and all that kind of stuff yet, but I see such a huge difference. I see circles under my eyes every day and like these new wrinkles. So I do believe you can age so much more quickly in a matter of a couple of years, depending on what your lifestyle looks like.
When I was an officer in the Navy, out at sea, especially, like pretty harsh lifestyle, like diet back in the 80s on a ship was not good. Shift work was the routine. You know, some of the people, me included at the time, would be what we would call port and starboard. So 6 hours on, 6 hours off, 6 hours on, 6 hours off. But then in some of your off time, you still actually had to do your job, you know, eat, you know, if you were going to exercise, right? So you'd be lucky if you would get, you know, 4 or 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep. And I remember even at the time knowing almost nothing about health, but seeing some of the sailors that were, you know, late 30s and feeling like, my goodness, these people look like my grandfather already. So like they had been aging in dog years just because those circumstances were so grueling. And I think both a pregnant mom and a new mom, you know, often sleep becomes a, you know, precious commodity that is hard to get enough of. And, you know, similar to the Navy, that can take a toll.
Absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. I've had Lyme disease, chronic illnesses. I sometimes say my body feels like it's 100 years old, even though I look 33 because I am 33. But my bones, my muscles, my joints, what can we do for this for people who also feel that way?
Well, yeah. And so that's part of the reason we created Biosynolytic. So stepping back, senescent cells are really hard to measure. You'd really have to take tissue samples. There's no blood test we can do for that. But my sense, given how, you know, much stress my body was under in the Navy, is that I probably, for my age, when I got out, had more senescent cells than an average person that had had less stress. And one of the cool things starting in 2015 with work at Mayo Clinic and Scripps Institute of Aging is that they discover that certain things that we take, if we take the, you know, a high enough amount, they can help do the equivalent of almost pruning away the yellow leaves, getting these zombie cells to finally go through the dying off process. And so, you know, my belief is that most of us would benefit from having a good gardener come in and prune senescent cells away. Mm-hmm. And for sure, starting, like when we do our studies, we usually recruit people starting at about age 35 to do these senolytic compounds that can help de-zombify our tissues and organs.
De-zombify? Who knew that that was even possible? So what are the results that you guys hear from people? Like, do people feel younger? They look younger? Does it show in their skin, their energy?
We've done three studies so far, and we're just starting a fourth. The first two would be what we think of as pilot studies. And by that, we mean there was no placebo group, and we were really just proof of concept. Does this look like it's worth doing other studies? So the first one, we recruited people that had joint issues. So think the common types of struggles people get with aging, with, you know, like uncomfortable joints, lack of flexibility, right? So stiffness, bending, that type of thing. And then struggling with what I think of as routine activities of daily living, like getting in and out of cars, carrying groceries, walking up and down stairs. So we recruited people that already had some challenge in those areas. And over what we would call three cycles. And for the audience listening, a cycle is 2 days of quasi-senolytic with some break before like another two days of taking it. And so we had them take three cycles over about 5 weeks and saw close to a 65% improvement in all these joint challenges. So energy is one, but one of them has to do with how emotional well-being interferes with activities of daily living. And that one showed about an 80% increase. So super cool. That was the biggest change, was in that emotional context, right? So like something with deep brain or gut brain, right? And so then we decided, okay, well, now let's do a placebo-controlled study. And that got completed just towards the end of 2023. And we saw, again, like 65 to 70% improvement in joint issues. It was statistically significant compared to placebo. We again saw the big increase in energy. Energy levels increased about 65% over the course of the study. And again, we saw a big change, or the biggest change, in that emotional well-being and how that impacts our daily function. And that had about an 85% increase. But what we see in people that give us feedback are largely similar things. We hear a lot about, you know, issues with discomfort or joints. We hear a lot about energy. We hear not as much maybe about the, like, that mood, mental well-being, in part because I don't think people connect that as much with the product. And then we've had to date that, at least people that have contacted us, five different women that have said that they'd stopped their menses and it restarted after doing it, which seems like it's done something to, you know, youngify or make, you know, functionally younger that system for them. So we see a mix of things, and there's no one way everyone would experience pruning away senescent cells.
Yeah. It would hit everybody differently, I'm sure.
Yeah. And the way scientists think about it would be a threshold effect. So think allergies, right? Like, you could be allergic to something in the environment. So like olive trees or pollen of some sort. And as long as that's below a certain threshold, you won't experience allergies, right? Like, it's only when a tipping point gets past, you exceed that threshold. And so the scientists that have spent a lot of time investigating senescent cells think it's also a tipping point thing, that as long as we can keep the amount in tissues and organs below the threshold where they're starting to interfere with how that functions, then we're pretty good. So someone like you, as an example, they may be 100% all tissues, some, but below that threshold. So pruning more away, you wouldn't feel anything. You'd just be being a good gardener, right? But someone that's already experiencing something in a tissue or organ because they're above the threshold, now they may feel something pretty big, but senescent cells don't accumulate evenly in all tissues and organs in a person, right? It's like, we all have our Achilles heel.
Yeah, totally. Right? We have our different pains. We have our different things that we're prone to. You said people take it for 2 days, 2 days on, and then how many days off?
Yeah. So our general recommendation is rest of the month, you don't do it. In our studies, we'll usually have people do a minimum of 12 days before taking the next. So our general recommendation would be like say you're 33, once a month to once every 3 months. Just be a good gardener, right? Prune things away.
Sorry, people see a difference after one time, after three times.
What we generally hear is many people just in the aftermath of taking that. So, you know, they take it for 2 days and then in the next couple of days to 6 days, they'll report they notice something. But again, these are people that probably already have one or more struggles with aging.
Yes.
And then typically that would be like improved even more the second time they do it. And then each subsequent time, it's slightly less, right? Because you think of each time you're pruning a bit more of the yellowing leaves off. So.
Interesting. This is amazing. I'm just over here thinking, why isn't everybody taking it? Like, is everybody a candidate for senolytics?
So I would say once you hit 35, most of us are experiencing something to do with the passage of time. The way I think of it is more like in a financial risk reward, good investment frame of right. Like there's just no guarantees with health, just like there aren't in investing. So at the end of the day, my goal is to make sound investments, both financially, you know, also in my spiritual well-being, right? So what you mentioned, but then, you know, in my diet and lifestyle so that when I get, you know, past the age that my dad passed away, that I'll still be able to live, you know, Dr. Greg's life, Dr. Greg's way. And for that to happen, I have to make different investments than my dad made. Fundamentally, right?
Absolutely.
So I think of Qualia Senolytic as one of those investments. Since I experimented on myself before Qualia Senolytic came to market, I've taken it more than anybody else.
Yeah.
And I intend on to continue to do that. And the way I do it, I just do it the first weekend of every month. It makes it
nice,
easy. I don't usually take other supplements as much on the weekend. And I guess getting back, should everyone, I would say, you know, you're 20, 25. No, like it's probably too early. But, you know, you're starting to get into your early to mid 30s. Yeah, it's probably a good idea to at least garden once in a while and prune things away. You get up into like, you know, 45s and older, or starting like at 35 and are already having maybe, you know, some issues with joints, then, you know, I would say once a month, like I take it. And if you're having a substantial amount of struggles, then you may want to at least for the first couple of cycles, speed up the process. And instead of once a month, maybe do once every other weekend for two or three cycles and then go to a more month.
Can pregnant women take this product?
We would recommend avoiding it. And the reason is, so like stepping back, think of there's two categories of senescent cells, transient, meaning they come and they go, and ones that have figured out how to become zombies and linger. So the transient ones do all kinds of good things. And actually during pregnancy, women would naturally make transient ones that do some super important things. The plant-based senolytics that are in Qualia Senolytic wouldn't be expected to interfere with that, but we would just want people to not risk it.
Totally.
Right? So, right, they're targeted at these lingering ones that accumulate with aging. Mm-hmm. So the other area where we would typically say, you know, have a window and don't take a senolytic, Qualia Senolytic or any other, is immediately after, like, you know, like a wound or something, because senescent cells, the transient ones, will come in and help to heal tissue in the couple of days after. But the transient ones don't become zombie cells. They like do their work and then they, you know, finish the dying off process. So, but anyways, to answer your question, I would recommend, I'm just very conservative in general.
Totally.
With
I think
pregnancy.
That's smart. Mm-hmm.
So if it's not established to be, you know, perfectly safe in pregnancy, my default recommendation is don't do it. Like wait till some good time after that.
Yeah. I can wait 18 more weeks to start taking this, at least. We'll see. I'm 22 weeks now. And that's what I keep reminding myself every time I want to do something or try something that's not pregnancy safe. I'm like, what's 18 weeks of my life? What's 18 more weeks? It's nothing. And then I'll have probably the rest of my life to try all the things.
Absolutely. And I think that's the, you know, like that idea of, oh, like what's 18 more weeks, right? I can wait. So like going back to the Navy at one point, you know, we would do deployments. We called them West Packs. I was stationed in Hawaii. And so we would leave there and go west, right? Into the, you know, Western Pacific, Indian Ocean. And they were 6 months deployments that you're away from, you know, your home, family, things like that. And my frame of reference since then has always been, Greg can do anything for 6 months because I did that.
Right? Oh, 100%. You've shown yourself how capable you are. And what are some of the other hallmarks of aging?
Yeah. So I mentioned that there's now thought to be 12 hallmarks of aging. Talk maybe about one of the big ones that was added in the new update was dysbiosis. So for listeners, most probably know that, but that has to do with the gut and the change in the gut microbiome that occurs with aging that then leads to all kinds of other problems, which makes sense, right? We know that, you know, when the microbiome is looked at in healthy older people, centennials versus younger people, right? It's different in all those groups. It's in a sense, you know, your gut microbiome, you know, it's probably changed since you've been pregnant, but your gut microbiome would be unique to you. It's like your fingerprint. No one on the planet will have one exactly like yours. And so, you know, if that stays younger, for lack of a better way to describe it, whole system health is just easier. Another one I mentioned at the beginning, telomere attrition, right? That's one of the original nine, you know, so still on the list of 12. Mitochondrial dysfunction is another, which I think is, you know, among the more important ones. Our mitochondria make all our energy. And if they're struggling, we're going to struggle physically and cognitively. Another one is stem cell exhaustion. So think of our poor stem cells just getting used up, exhausted, and unable to make new cells to, you know, fill up tissue space and keep it healthy. And then a couple of the other ones have to do with how cells sense nutrients in their environment and respond to that, you know, signal to each other, you know, so think of like things like insulin and glucose, like that type of signaling. And then, you know, there's a few others that are, I think they'd be beyond what the audience would know, but one's called proteostasis. So one of the things that happens in cells, proteins are moved in and out of, like, say, the mitochondria. So to do that, they're folded and unfolded is how you describe it. And misfolding of proteins is something that tends to happen much more and more as the years pass. And another one has to do with autophagy, which your audience may know. And autophagy, the way I would think of it, and this oversimplifies it, but when a cell is stressed, its first response is going to be, okay, I'm going to toughen myself up. I'm going to, you know, ratchet up my antioxidant defenses and make more glutathione and these other things so that I can, you know, hang out and resist the stress. But if stress is more than that, then the cell will take on some damage. And usually that has to do with then things inside the cell. So proteins or organelles, mitochondria becoming damaged. And what autophagy does is it cleans up that damage, right? So it's a repair process fundamentally. But if stress is even more, that's when a cell might become senescent. You know, so at that point, once a cell is senescent, it's an unrepairable cell fundamentally.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I remember learning about autophagy because when I was healing from Lyme, I did multiple water fasts, extended fasting. But I remember learning all about autophagy because that was the purpose of these extended water fasts, was for the sick cells to have nothing to thrive off of and to die, to hopefully then replace and replenish with the healthy, flourishing cells.
Yeah. So what seems to happen when we do like a fast like that, right? Or even there's something called the fasting mimicking diet. That's not a pure water fast, but that's been an emphasis of his work, is that when we're not getting, and the key thing in the fasting mimicking diet seems to be being below a threshold amount of protein. There's other things too. But when that's the case, it almost seems like whatever intelligence resides throughout our system is like, okay, well, I'm not getting enough protein orally in my diet. There's some that are stored randomly in cells throughout my body that are mucked up, like those proteins are misfolded or damaged. Let's recycle them, right? And so that's, you know, fundamentally what seems to happen when we do these short fasts, is that the proteins that can be repaired or used to you know, make better versions of cells do get disproportionately used, right? So that's a super important, I think, part of any, you know, healthy aging and, you know, often improving our health no matter what the disease circumstances we're facing it might be. Intermittent fasting can be that, like, type of, like, you know, intermittent fasting is I think of as a general term biohackers use, but, you know, so there's what I think of as time restricted eating, where you have some window that you're only eating in. Right. So that's a type of intermittent fasting I do. My window's not crazy tight, but it would be, you know, somewhere most days like an 8 to 10 hour window. And then periodically I would do something akin to the fasting mimicking diet based off Walter Longo, where I'll go 3 to 5 days and, you know, drastically reduce how much I eat during that window.
My husband tries to only eat for a 2-hour window most days. He's very extreme. I don't know if that's probably too much for a lot of people, but he actually thrives off of it. He feels more alert during the day. He feels more energy. And then he just has a feast at dinner time.
Yeah. I mean, I've known some other people that seem to as well. I know I, like, constitutionally, I've always been more like that lean archetype. And so, you know, for me, it doesn't work well for me, and me being productive would be, I guess, the way to describe it. I do really well when I have, you know, a substantial amount of food early in my day.
Me too.
So, you know, and then, you know, that, what is it? Like, eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, dinner like a pup, like, or a something like that.
Peasant. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I know I do really well on that, and, you know, realized that actually back even towards the end in the Navy, that if I focused a lot of things early in the day, I just tended to perform much better.
Interesting. Yeah, it's undeniable for me. Yesterday, I was going to breakfast in Malibu, and it took like an hour and a half to get there. It was just road closures, traffic. So, pregnant, haven't had breakfast, absolutely starving. I had the most emotional car ride of my life. I ate this very late big breakfast, felt like an entirely new person.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing, I guess, just getting back to your husband. So one of the nutrition teachers I had when I was in naturopathic school that I admired a lot, but the thing I remember him saying at the time, so this goes back to like 94-ish, was something to the effect of, is there can be a big difference between a diet that would take someone that's not healthy and get them healthy, and the diet that will keep them healthy once they got there. And I think very commonly what happened is people will use something to move from wherever they are, maybe overweight, unhealthy, to healthy, and then cruise right through that, sticking to the same diet. So for listeners, you know, don't, again, go back to that idea, you know, focus on the results, not the thing that you're doing, because that thing that you were doing may stop working and cruise you to some new area of poor health.
Yes.
So be flexible, I guess, is what the message would be.
Totally. That's another thing that I relate to, because when I was healing from Lyme, I followed this salt oil, sugar-free vegan diet that was incredible for the inflammation that I was having. It was post-water fast, the closest thing to just complete purity in the body. And it was amazing for me. It healed chronic eczema head to toe, made me feel more energized, just made me feel healthy like other people in the world. But I continued to eat that way for probably 2 or 3 years. And then it just no longer serves me. I love that statement. And I think it's so true.
Yeah. I think maybe getting even back to diet and senescent cells, you know, we touched base a little bit on calorie restriction. So I mentioned how hard it is to measure senescent cells. So because of that, you know, research is not, you know, today where it would be, say, 10 years from now when they've done more studies. But so far, exercise for sure seems like, at least in muscle tissues and some others, to slow down the process of making senescent cells. So super cool.
Oh,
so
cool.
Make sure, you know, like the, you know, for the listeners, make sure you're not neglecting your exercise. And then, you know, the calorie restriction-ish, so not hardcore long-term, but, you know, the fasting kind of things that promote autophagy. Think of autophagy as a process that prevents cells from becoming senescent, right? Because it's cleaning them up from the stress before they get too stressed and become unrepairable. So things that, you know, would promote autophagy are good strategies to minimize the accumulation of senescent cells. But once they're there, those things aren't, you know, aren't likely to get rid of them. If it was that easy, then people that exercised through their 70s would have got rid of them, right? So that's why we created Qualia Senolytic, is then to, you know, be the gardener for your tissues.
Amazing. That's so cool. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a couple of the rapid fire questions that I ask everyone who comes on.
Sure.
When's your birthday? So what is your zodiac sign?
I'm an Aquarius. My mother actually did my chart a long time ago. She was really interested in that. And I've got crazy amount of other things in Aquarius.
So, oh, wow, really?
And then I had a classmate at one point that was into Vedic astrology and did my chart. And she's said that it was so unusual. She had her teacher look at it and the teacher said, well, he's either insane or he's like the Buddha. And I'm like, can I be a little of both?
Yes. Like a true Aquarius. Oh my gosh. How amazing.
So
yeah, you came here for a specific purpose.
Yeah. You know, and I tend to think, you know, that idea of air likes, you know, like not to be boxed in. Like it's always yes. been something that gets under my skin if I can't do things at my own pace.
Same. So, I'm also triple air. I'm a Libra with an Aquarius rising and a lot of Aquarius, a lot of Libra in my chart. So I definitely relate. We're creative and we move at our own pace, usually a very fast pace.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. If you could have dinner with three people, living or dead, who would they be?
That's a great question. So like living for sure, Elon Musk would be, you know, among the top. He definitely comes to mind. I think that would be super fascinating. You know, someone like I've always been, you know, somewhat of like a, you know, history buff, science. So maybe someone like Darwin, right? That just really made such a big leap. And then, you know, I would want someone that I just thought was really fun, right? Right.
Yeah.
That like, oh, this person would be super cool, you know, and so maybe someone with a good sense of humor that, you know, I mean, it could be Jerry Seinfeld, one of the female, I don't really have it, but someone like that maybe has made it in comedy that just give like an insight into, you know, how they've experienced life.
Yeah, it's a good room.
I've met a lot of authors over the years.
Oh, cool.
Both like, you know, famous, you know, like D'Adamo, Atkins, people like that at conferences, but also a lot of sci-fi and fantasy authors. And what's interesting about that group is that most of them are by nature pretty introverted, right? They're not necessarily the life of the party people. I would say the one exception at one point at a Comic-Con got to sit at a table with the author of 50 Shades of Black. And she was exactly like you would imagine a British, you know, woman homemaker with a great sense of humor would be. She was charming. So
that's so cool. Sense of humor. Yeah, I love that so much. And what are your spiritual practices like? Do you meditate? Do you journal? What does that look like?
So I've done different things at different points. When I first got out of the Navy, I went on a complete like, okay, I've got to like, there's this, I was raised Catholic. So it, like I wanted to experience all these other traditions. And I was in Hawaii and I literally felt like every spiritual group on the island thought I was one of their people because I went to everything, right?
It's amazing.
I chanted with the Hare Krishnas, went to, you know, Self-Realization Fellowship, was in the Kripalu Yoga group, would periodically go to this home in Manoa Valley. There was an old Tibetan Lama that chanted there. Lived at one point in a Sri Chinmoy ashram in Thailand. So like that was an important part of my life in that transition from the Navy to naturopathic school. But currently at this point in my life, the main thing I do is what I would call ceremony music, which you're nodding your head. So you get, I listen to ceremony music to start and finish every day.
Oh, that's amazing. So, good practice.
And that, you know, I have great anchors to that from journey experience that I did. And that always brings me back to like a really, you know, what I would think, you know, I feel it in my throat like that. Oh, like that. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, today's going to be a day that I can show up and speak my truth with compassion is the way I would say it. And then, you know, it connects me to like my center of joy and of patience. So, you know, that's how I start my day trying to listening to the music and then experiencing those areas in my body just so that I can walk into the day with those experiences is how I'm showing up.
I love that so much. It's such a good way to reawaken those ceremonies. It sounds like you probably had a powerful plant medicine ceremony of sorts.
I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which medicine was it?
Ayahuasca is the plant medicine where the ceremony music became plugged into Greg's life. Yeah.
Oh, it's such a beautiful medicine where I've had a lot of healing experiences with ayahuasca. And that's a good idea. I need to start listening to the ceremony music more often. When I do hear it, it brings me right back. So that's beautiful.
I was on Luke Stories podcast back in October. I went to his home in Austin to record it. And I got there like 10 minutes early and didn't want to be early. So I just, you know, walked down the street and was on my phone listening to ceremony music. And lo and behold, he comes walking down the street with his dog, right? It's like, oh, hi, Luke. I'm going to be, you know, and so he's like, well, what are you doing, Greg? I'm like, oh, I'm listening to ceremony music. He's like, that's super cool. I listened to that before doing every podcast. I just had it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say he would get it more than anybody. That's amazing.
You know, and it's such a range of what that term can mean, but it would be a main thing I do. And then I live, you know, near the beach here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And so part of my thing is, you know, get out, do a walk during that early transition to sunrise or shortly after that. And then, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I can see the sunset from where I live over the Pacific. So, you know, at least most days make, you know, a point to pause from whatever I'm doing to start and end those transition periods light. And I think of that to me as a spiritual type practice, because during that I'll often, you know, give thanks to the life I'm getting to live, you know, maybe salute my father, ancestors, people that have come before, things like that.
Yes. Yes. The gratitude. That's beautiful. So I love it so much. And then where can everybody find you? And where can everybody find this amazing product that we have been discussing?
So our brand of products is Qualia. So the product is called Qualia Senolytic. Our actual company's name has always been Neurohacker Collective. So the website as we're recording this is neurohacker.com. So if you go there and look for Qualia Senolytic, and Qualia is Q-U-A-L-I-A. But if you just, you know, do a Google search for Qualia Senolytic, it'll come up.
Yes. And we have a special code for everybody, neurohacker.com/balanced. For up to $100 off and the code balanced at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't, that's not my sweet spot.
I happen to know that one. Yes.
Yeah. And then I would say Instagram is the best place to follow Neurohacker. That's where we put a lot of our efforts. And then on X, so the old Twitter, there's Neurohacker Official or at Neuro. Anyways, I'm the one that maintains the X account. So that if you, we don't have many followers on that, but if you see something on that, it's because, oh, I thought it was cool and wanted to share it.
Love. And so, do you have a personal Instagram?
I do and never go there. So, I mean, I only really have it because every once in a while to do like an Instagram live or something.
Exactly. That makes sense. I actually, funny story for you, I discovered Qualia years ago. I remember living in my old apartment. So this was before I was with my husband or anything. So this must have been like 8 years ago, if that sounds correct. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who, maybe it was a functional medicine doctor who recommended it too. And it wasn't this product that we're talking about now, but it was just like the original Qualia for alertness, for, I don't know, you could tell us what it's for,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I remember feeling like I was on fire. Like, it was amazing.
Like, our first product is Qualia Mind is what it would be called now, which we would call a nootropic. But for the listeners, what that means is like, you know, improvement in focus, energy, alertness, motivation. Basically, you know, it's something for your brain. So you'll just be a better version of yourself and get more stuff done, right?
Yeah, it works.
And then and the other thing that I know I always think of Qualia Mind as two use cases that don't often get, you know, as aren't as obvious. But one is, I think of my dad, right, who worked super hard to support, you know, I have five brothers and sisters, so a big family, right? He commuted, you know, in and out of Boston, you know, probably hour and a half to 2 hour commute each day so we could live by the beach, you know, near Cape Cod. And the dad that came home at 6:30 or 7 at night could be a pretty grumpy, grouchy, irritable person, right? Which was hard on my brothers and sisters and I. But, you know, if he had a chance to kind of recharge, maybe shine shoes, you know, tinker in his workshop, then he'd be super pleasant later.
Yes.
And what I think is, like, when we think of our brain only has so much resources to get it through a day. And the tank is fullest at the beginning of the day. And typically by the time our significant others would get home from work at the end of the day, or like my father in that case, the tank's largely been run dry, right? And so one of the things I think Qualia Mind does a great job on is putting more resources or gas in the tank early in the day, so we have more at the end of the day. Because what I've seen you know, in my life and back when I work with patients is often the best version of ourselves shows up at work or school, and the less good version is who walks in the door at the end of the day.
Yes.
So, you know, one of the things, like, great use case for Qualia Mind, like, you know, take it so that a better version of you will also show up for the important people in your home life.
Yeah, because that's what matters most at the end of the day. And for all of us who love our work and we're very passionate about what we do, it's a sad truth that sometimes at the end of the day, the people that you love the most get the absolute scraps of your best personality. And that's obviously not the life that any of us want to be living. That's not why we're here. So that's really, really important.
Yeah. So, and then, in, like I said, the, you know, make good investments, right? So,
yeah,
you know, do your best to make sure the important things, right? Sleep, body clock, diet, exercise, spirituality, all those things are taken care of. And then, you know, use the products that we make, the Qualia brand. So, you know, things like Qualia Synolytic, to do things that those things on their own aren't doing for us.
Yes. Well, this was incredible. Thank you so much. What a wonderful conversation.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Come say hi on Instagram at The Balance Wand and tell me what your favorite part of this episode was. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and send me a screenshot of your rating and review for a free Soul on Fire yoga ebook. See you next Wednesday. Love you guys.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.